Okay, so get this. We're talking about a cutting-edge medical device, a nasty equity dispute, and a programmer who basically pulls a disappearing act.
Right.
By deleting like all the source code, we're going deep on this case, Just Med, Inky Bice. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decided this one, and it is a legal thriller, especially for anyone in tech, working with startups or thinking about launching one.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting here is how this case shines a light on this whole idea of work for hire, but like in the digital age. It's a huge clash between this, laid back, move fast culture you see in startups and then the very real legal consequences when you don't have those crystal clear agreements.
Like you're building this next big thing,
Right.
right? Fueled by ramen noodles and dreams. But you
Right.
totally forget that the law, it still applies even in this world of hoodies and hackathons.
Exactly.
So just for everyone listening who might not be super familiar with the Ninth Circuit, think of it like the Supreme Court, but for the West Coast.
Right.
Their decisions carry a lot of weight, especially, in the tech world of California and beyond.
Yeah, in this case, it's a cautionary tale that any lawyer, especially those working with startups, should really know inside and out.
Absolutely. So let's set the scene. What exactly happened in this case that, landed it in the Ninth Circuit?
So it all started with this startup, Just Med. They were developing a digital audio larynx, pretty cool tech, actually, a device to help people who've lost their voice communicate. And the guy behind making this thing work, the brains of the operation, their programmer, Michael Bice.
Okay, so we've got this startup with a promising product, a talented programmer. Where does the conflict come in?
Well, the conflict, like so many startup stories, really comes down to this messy question of ownership, right? Who owns what? And you see, there wasn't a formal employment contract with Bice. He was working remotely from Idaho, actually, getting paid in company stock, no benefits, no taxes withheld, nothing like that.
Oh yeah, classic startup setup, right? We're all in this together, future millionaires. I've been there.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. That shared dream, though, it can sour so quickly. Disagreements started popping up, especially around equity, who owns how much of the company. And Bice, feeling like he got a raw deal, well, he decided to make a pretty dramatic exit. He deleted like all the source code, everything from Just Med's computers, and then he went and slapped his own copyright notice on
Wow. Talk about taking your ball and going home, huh?
it.
I mean, I get the frustration, but deleting the code, that's a bold move. So how did this escalate into a full-blown legal battle?
Well, Just Med, understandably, they were not too happy about their core software just vanishing into thin air, right? So they took Bice to court. And this is where things start to get legally interesting. The big question, was Bice an employee under the law or was he an independent contractor?
Ah, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
Because if he's considered an employee, then anything he creates for the company belongs to the company,
Yeah,
right?
right.
That whole work for hire idea.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? If it's work for hire, Just Med, they own the code. But if Bice was truly operating as an independent contractor, then, well, he owns the copyright. And Just Med, they're in a really, really tough spot.
Okay, that makes sense. But how does the law actually determine who's an employee and who's a contractor? I kind of vaguely remember something from law school about the Reed factors.
Oh, you're remembering correctly. The Reed factors, those come from this landmark Supreme Court case, and they are crucial for really breaking down these work relationships.
Okay.
So the court uses them to look at things like how much control the company has over what the person does, how long the relationship lasted, how they were paid. It's not just a matter of having a contract that says contractor, The court, they dig way deeper to see if the reality matches that label.
So it's not just about what's written down, but like the actual dynamics of the working relationship. So how did those Reed factors play out in the Just Med case? What were the key arguments on each side?
Well, that's where things get really interesting, and that's what we'll dive into next.
Okay, so we've got these Reed factors, right? Like a legal scorecard to figure out if someone's a true independent contractor or kind of an employee in disguise. How did the court actually apply these things in the Just Med case?
Well, they really went through it meticulously, examining all the details of Bice's relationship with Just Med. And you got to remember, there's no magic bullet here, right? No single factor is going to automatically win the case. It's really about the whole picture.
Got it. Okay, so like walk us through those factors. What were some of the key points, that really swayed the court?
All right. So the first big one, and it's usually considered the most important, is control. How much say did Just Med have over what Bice did and how he did it, right? You might think, well, he's working remotely, sets his own hours. That sounds pretty independent.
Right.
But the court, they weren't convinced.
So what made them see it differently? I mean, remote work is, you know, pretty common these days.
It is. But the devil's in the details, right? So the court, they pointed to all these frequent phone calls between Bice and Joel Just, who ran JustMed. Plus, JustMed, they gave Bice very specific tasks, and they had final approval on everything about the software development. So it wasn't like he was just off coding on his own, doing whatever he wanted.
So even though he was physically distant, they were still kind of calling the shots.
No, exactly. It's not just about where you work, but who's steering the ship.
Right.
Then there's the duration factor, too. Bice, he wasn't brought in for just a one-time project, right? Like with a clear end date. This was an ongoing thing, an ongoing relationship, which the court saw as more typical of, you know, someone who's an employee.
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, code this one thing and we're done.
No. It was much more open-ended than that. And then, of course, there's the thorny issue of payment. We talked about how Bice got company stock, not those traditional paychecks. Well, the court, they saw that as basically a form of salary, which, again, points towards him being an employee.
Interesting. So even though it wasn't a regular paycheck, the way he was compensated, that still kind of hinted at that employer-employee relationship.
Precisely. And here's where it gets a little tricky. You know, typically, if you're a true independent contractor, you're responsible for your own taxes, right? You don't get employee benefits or anything like that. Bice, he had none of that. You'd think that would be a slam dunk for the contractor argument.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty clear distinction. So what happened?
Well, the court, they did acknowledge those missing pieces, but they also kind of gave JustMed some leeway because, hey, it's a startup, right? Things are often a bit more informal, especially when they're first starting out.
So they were cutting them some slack because of the startup context.
Yeah, a little bit.
But doesn't that set a dangerous precedent? Like, you know, now any company could just claim, oh, we're a startup, we're informal, to kind of avoid their legal obligations.
That's a valid concern, and it's something that's definitely been debated, you know, among legal experts. But this case, it doesn't give companies a total free pass. The court, they were very specific in their reasoning, and it doesn't mean that startups can just, you know, completely ignore all formalities.
So it's a nuanced decision, for sure.
It is.
The court looked at everything, not just checking boxes on a list.
Exactly. It's a reminder that the law isn't always black and white, right? There's a lot of gray area, especially when you're dealing with these newer, more evolving work models like we're seeing a lot in the tech world.
Okay, so after all this back and forth, you know, all these factors considered, what was the Ninth Circuit's final verdict?
Drumroll, please. They sided with JustMed. They upheld the lower court's decision, saying that, yep, Bice, he was considered an employee. And that meant the source code was work for hire. It belonged to the company. Big win for JustMed. Tough break for Bice.
Wow, what a roller coaster, huh? So even though there wasn't that formal contract, and it looked a lot like a contractor setup from the outside, the court really zeroed in on the actual nature of their relationship, especially, you know, JustMed's control over what Bice was doing.
Absolutely. This is why this case is, like, mandatory knowledge for anyone who's involved in the startup world on either side, really. Just because you're working in this casual environment, you know, that we're all friends here kind of vibe, it doesn't mean that you can just wing it when it comes to legal stuff. The law, it's going to scrutinize what you actually did, regardless of what your intention was.
So what's the big lesson here? Spell it out for all the startup founders, the developers, the creators out there listening. What do they need to know?
Simple. Get it in writing. No matter how small the company is, how chill the vibe is, you know, how much you trust everybody, having those clear agreements from day one, it is absolutely vital. Spell out who owns what, especially when you're talking about intellectual property, your code, your designs, your inventions.
Right, because assuming everyone's on the same page can really lead to, like, a world of legal hurt later on.
Oh, right? Yeah, big time. Having those agreements in place, it might feel a little formal at first, maybe even a little awkward, but it's so much less painful than dealing with, like, a messy legal battle later. It protects everybody.
Couldn't agree more. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, as they say. Now, let's say, just hypothetically, Bice. He had insisted on a contract right from the start, one that clearly stated he was an independent contractor. Would that have changed things?
That's a great question. Having that contract, it would have definitely made his case stronger, for sure. But even then, the court, they'd still look at those read factors to see if how they were actually working matched what the contract said.
Oh, so even a contract isn't a total shield.
Nope.
You can't just slap a label on it and call it a day.
The courts, they're pretty savvy, you know? They're going to look beyond the label and see what's really going on. That's why it's so important to not just have a contract, but to actually structure your working relationship in a way that truly aligns with how you want to be classified. Like if you want someone to be a true independent contractor, you got to actually treat them like one, not just call them that on paper.
Makes sense. You can't have your cake and eat it too, legally speaking.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned this case has lessons for both startups and, you know, creators, right?
Yeah.
Can you break that down a bit?
Absolutely. So for startups, Just Med v. Bice, it's like a huge wake-up call. Informality is not a legal defense. You just can't assume everything's cool because you're all working towards, you know, the shared goal. You got to be proactive, establish those clear legal frameworks right from the beginning, especially when it comes to who owns that intellectual property, the stuff that really makes your business tick.
No more handshake deals and hoping for the best.
Pretty much, yeah. Put it in writing. And it doesn't have to be like super complicated legal jargon or anything. There are tons of resources out there, templates available online that can really help startups create those clear, concise agreements without, you know, breaking the bank on legal fees.
Right. It sounds like a small price to pay to avoid a major legal headache later on.
Totally.
Now, what about the creators, the programmers, the designers, the writers, you know, all those folks out there? What's the main takeaway for them?
For creators, Just Med v. Bice, it really underscores how important it is to understand your own rights.
Right.
And to protect your own interests, even when you're working in, you know, this more collaborative, informal kind of setting. Don't be afraid to ask for a contract, to negotiate the terms, and definitely seek legal advice if you're just unsure about anything.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of, like, a new project and just assume everything's going to work itself out. But it's so important to protect yourself from the very beginning.
100%. And remember, you don't have to go it alone either. There are organizations out there, legal resources specifically for creators that can really help you navigate these more complicated parts of intellectual property law.
Right. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to legal stuff. Now, there's one more aspect of this whole case that I found really interesting. You know, the thing that really got me about all this was Bice's decision to just delete the source code, like wipe it out, and then go and change the copyright notice.
Mm.
It just felt so, I don't know, drastic, almost like a desperate move.
Oh, yeah. It really shows how quickly things can just go off the rails, right?
Yeah.
When communication breaks down and someone feels like, you know, they've really been wronged. It also kind of underscores why having those clear legal agreements in place from the very start is so important.
Totally.
Because if you don't, emotions can really take over and people might end up doing things that they wouldn't even consider otherwise.
Exactly. And even if, you know, hypothetically Bice had won the case, let's say the court had sided with him, said, yep, you're the sole owner of the copyright, all that, even then, that whole act of deleting the code, that could have landed him in a whole other heap of legal trouble.
Oh, for sure. We're talking, you know, potential breach of contract, misappropriation of trade secrets, maybe even criminal charges, depending on the specifics and what state laws apply. It could have gotten really messy.
So even if he truly believed he was in the right, his actions could have totally backfired. It's like a big reminder that understanding the law and, you know, maybe talking to a lawyer before doing something drastic like that is really important. Cooler heads need to prevail, especially when you're talking about, you know, these high stakes issues like intellectual property.
Couldn't agree more. It's a classic example of how emotions can just cloud your judgment. You know, even for really smart, tech savvy people.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think stepping back from the specifics of Just Med v. Bice for a minute, this case brings up some interesting, bigger questions about how work is changing, you know, especially in the digital age. We've got all these people working remotely, freelancing, collaborating in ways that don't really fit into those traditional employer-employee boxes.
You're hitting on something really important there. The law, the way it's set up, it's all about those clear-cut categories, right? Employee or independent contractor. But it often struggles to keep up with how fluid and dynamic work arrangements have become. You've got the gig economy, remote work, these project-based collaborations. It's definitely blurring the lines.
Yeah, it is. And as technology keeps reshaping how we work, how we create value, I think we're going to see more and more cases like Just Med, right? Pushing the courts to adapt and maybe reinterpret those existing laws in new ways.
100%. And this is where, you know, the role of lawyers, especially lawyers who really get tech, becomes even more critical. We need to help our clients navigate this changing landscape, help them understand their rights, their obligations, and, you know, put together agreements that are both solid legally, but also actually reflect how they're working together in the real world.
Right. So it's not enough to just know the law, like straight out of a textbook. It's about understanding how all this technology is impacting the way we work and create.
Exactly. It's about being proactive, you know, thinking ahead about potential problems and then coming up with creative solutions that actually protect everyone involved.
Well said. So to kind of wrap up our whole deep dive into JustMed v. Bice,
yeah.
I think the main thing for everyone listening to remember is this. Whether you're, I don't know, a startup founder, a freelancer, a tech whiz, or even a legal professional, clear communication, well-written agreements, and you know, a good grasp of intellectual property law, those are more crucial than ever.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And you know, the world of work, it's evolving so fast. And our understanding of the legal side of things, it needs to keep pace. So stay informed, stay engaged, and never hesitate to reach out to an expert, you know, if you're heading into uncharted territory.
That's good advice. And on that note, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Thanks for joining us on this, you know, pretty fascinating legal journey. And be sure to tune in next time for another deep dive into the legal issues that are really shaping our world.